නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ ඉමස්සේව කෝ ඒතං ආනන්ද අරියස්ස අට්ඨංගිකස්ස මග්ගස්ස අධිවචනං බ්‍රහ්මයානං ඉතිපි ධම්මයානං ඉතිපි අනුත්තරෝ සංගාම විජයෝ ඉති පීති. Dear Dhamma friends, so as you all know, we are taking various suttas and discuss them in order to take some guidance to our practice. And last couple of months actually we have discussed Satipatthana Sutta, and we tried to gain a lot of insights from that Satipatthana Sutta. And now there was a request to discuss on the Noble Eightfold Path. So I have selected a particular sutta which explains Noble Eightfold Path, and that is what I have taken as a title today. So at one time, Venerable Ananda was going on Pindapath in the Shravasti, and at that time there is a Brahmin called Jhanusoni. And he is actually going on in the in a horse, what you call this chariot. And this chariot was quite special. So this is something mentioned. And this Janusoni, Brahmin Janusoni, went from his house and then going in the Savasti city, and there his chariot is quite special. And he say, according to the information, this chariot is completely white. And interestingly, so the idea is that this so it has sort of ornaments which is also white, and then the used horses, they also white, and then the whatever the upholstery, that is also white, and then the reins which is included for the which is used for controlling the horses, that is also white, and then gourd also white, canopy also white, and the Brahmin and the charioteer has put a turban. And that is so turban, and that is also white, and their clothes are white, their sandals are white, and likewise the whole chariot is completely white. Now, after seeing this, many people were really sort of astounded, or we can say they were surprised, and they were really pleased, and they were telling that this is a really divine kind of chariot, and this could be the way that even the celestial beings in the divinity, that they may be enjoying the pleasures, and this is really indeed a really divine chariot. So likewise, many people were discussing, and they were appreciating, they were enjoying, delighted by seeing this Brahmin Janusoni's chariot, because every component, every aspect of the chariot is white. Now, Venerable Ananda noticed this, and then he returned from his Pindapatha, and during the discussion, so he raised a question to the Buddha, and he mentioned what he has seen, that he has seen that Brahmin Janusoni entering the city with an entirely pure white chariot, and people were really admiring it. And people were telling that it is really a divine kind of a chariot. And now, Venerable Ananda giving a little suggestion, and he is asking from the Buddha, Bante, is it possible to give you a better explanation on this kind of a chariot? And is there any possibility to connect this to the Dhamma? Is this white color divine chariot? Is it possible to connect with the Dhamma? So this is a kind of a beautiful question that Venerable Ananda is putting to the Buddha, And then Buddha says, yes, it is possible. And he says, Buddha says, so this noble divine chariot is a simile for the, is a kind of a designation for the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is called divine vehicle, the vehicle of Dhamma, the unsurpassed victory in the battle. So Buddha is giving a different explanation, and he is telling Noble Eightfold Path can be considered as a divine vehicle. It is a Dhamma vehicle. It is the one bringing you to the victory over the battle. Now therefore Buddha tried to now explain Noble Eightfold Path, and he later recites very beautiful verses, and therefore this particular sutta has some information related to the sort of customs during that old India, and again the people's attitudes, and again Buddha's explanation about the Noble Eightfold Path, and he how beautifully explained that path as a kind of a divine vehicle, as a victorious vehicle for the sort of battle with the defilements. So now we can get on to one by one, what is this Noble Eightfold Path? So as you all know, Noble Eightfold Path consists of eight path factors, and the first starts with the Sammaditti, right view. In the right view also, there are two types. That is the mundane kind of right view, and then the supramundane right view. Now today I thought of discussing the mundane type of right view. Actually, mundane type of right view and supramundane right view are explained at many different places. And mundane type of right view, Lokiya Sammaditti. So there Buddha mentioned, so one has to have kind of a well-established understanding and acceptance of the karma. So that is the basic understanding about the mundane type of right view. So one first of all has to recognize good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, what is right and what is wrong. So likewise the basic understanding has to be there, and there he teaches about the karma, and if one has a good understanding about karma, and that is and sort of established there, and is responsible on one's own actions, so that is one level of Sammaditti, right view. So what is karma? Now we got to go a little deeper, and to recognize what, according to the Buddha's teaching, what he mentioned as karma. Now we can recognize some concise explanation given in the Nibbedika Sutta, available in the Anguttara Nikaya. So there Buddha mentioned, Kammam Bhikkhave Evedi Dhabbam. So Buddha mentioned that you got to know about karma, the explanation, the definition about karma. And there Buddha mentioned, Chetanaham bhikkhave kammam vadami, chetayitva kammam karoti, kayena vachaya manasa. So this is a very common and well-known explanation. And there Buddha mentioned the volitional activity I call as the kamma. And whatever volitional activity that you conduct through the body, through the speech and the mind, bear fruits. Now, so therefore we can understand, okay, the volition is an essential component in the kamma. So Buddha mentioned that chetanaham bhikkhave kammam vadami. So volition I call as the kamma. So if we conduct any kind of an activity without a volition, it's a kind of an accidental action, we did it without any volition, then there is no kamma generated. But on the other hand, if we did something volitionally, then the kamma is generated. And then Buddha here also mentioned contact as the cause of kamma, passa. So passo bhikkhave kammana nidana sambhavo. The contact is the cause of the kamma. And then vemattata, the sort of the differentiation, various distinct different aspects of the kamma. So there Buddha mentioned certain actions are taking you to the animal realm, and certain actions taking you to the hell realm, certain actions taking you to the ghostly realm, Pettivise, and certain actions taking to the human realm, and certain actions taking to the celestial realms. And this is how there are different types of karma available. So you can see, so it is not that all karma giving fruits at the same place. So many different karma is available, and accordingly they bear fruits at many different places. So therefore that is another aspect of the karma. And again, Buddha mentioned, depending on the fruit giving, when the fruits being given, the vipaka being manifested, so accordingly that there are again three types of manifestation we can recognize. So one is the ditta dhamma vedaniya, that is where the giving fruits at this life itself, and then upapajja vedaniya, that is where the fruits will be available in the next life, and aparaparya vedaniya, that is fruits may be available at another later time, any other later time, any lifespan, any lifetime available in the future. So likewise, there are three categories depending on the bearing of fruits. And on the other hand, there are certain type called ahosi karma, where the potential of giving fruits being nullified. So those have become completely cancelled, since it didn't get a chance, the proper conducive environment was not prepared. As a result, certain karma being cancelled. So those are called ahosi karma. So, and here, interestingly, the kamma nirodha gamini patibada, the way to completely cease the kamma. So there is a path, and that is nothing but Noble Eightfold Path. Again, we are coming back to the Noble Eightfold Path. So that is also interesting. Now, when it comes to kamma, so there is another very interesting sutta which is available in the Majjhima Nikaya. It is called Chula Kamma Vibhanga Sutta. There Buddha mentioned about various aspects of karma, and the interesting discussion happened between the Buddha and a Brahmin student called Subha. So this Brahmin student Subha is Brahmin Todaya's son, and one occasion he come and meet the Buddha, and he has made a very beautiful observation. So what is his observation? And he says, so there are among the people, there are inferior and superior people, because certain people appear really majestic, and some are really poor, and some are superior, some are inferior, some are with low caste, some are with high caste, and some are beautiful, some are ugly, attractive, inattractive, and some are influential, some are not influential, and some are healthy, some are sickly. Some live short lifespan, some live long lifespan. So there are many differences. So what is the cause of these differences? So there Buddha directly mentioned this kammasaka manava satta, kamma dayada, kamma yoni, kamma bandhu, kamma patisarana. Kammang satte vibhajati yadidang hinappanita tayati. So this is a strong statement Buddha made. So beings are owners of their actions, and they are the heirs of their actions. They originate from their actions, and they are bound to their actions. Again, their actions are the refuge. So that is another interesting part. Their actions are the refuge for them. And it is that action which distinguishes beings either inferior or superior. Now this is basically related to the typical how one is born and how the environment setting is prepared for him. So that is basically coming as a result of his own karma. and he has his accumulated karma, and it has bear fruit in this life, and accordingly he has taken this birth, and it seems like, so therefore there's a certain amount of past karma influential into the present birth. And accordingly, one may be beautiful, one may be ugly, one may be rich, one may be poor, and one may born with some long lifespan, one may born with a short lifespan, and one may be stupid, one may be wise, one may be with higher caste, one may be with lower caste. So likewise, these are some influential impact coming from the past karma. Now, further Buddha mentioned in this Chulakamma Vibhanga Sutta, so if one, and then actually Brahmin youth Subha says, Bhante, I couldn't understand this whole thing, you have mentioned it very concisely, could you explain this? So he's putting a kind of a very humble request to the Buddha, just to expecting an elaboration from the Buddha. Now then Buddha explains what he meant. So there he mentioned, so if there are any kind of man or woman who not careful about the others' lives, and they may be killing animals, and they are harming animals, and likewise they are not careful about their living, and sometimes they hit the animals. So likewise, they are not careful about their bodily conduct. So as a result, because of that, they may be, after passing away, they may be born in the hell realm. Or if they come back to the human realm, so they may get short lifespan. On the other hand, there are people who are very considerate, and they are careful about others' well-being, and they are actually trying to help others. They care about their others' lives as well. And as a result, they are reborn in celestial realms. And if they return to the human realm, Buddha mentioned that they get long lifespan. So this is one explanation. So that is the cause, according to the teaching, that how one is getting long lifespan or short lifespan. And then there are others who are using, you know, this various weapons, or maybe with one's own hand, maybe with clodden, maybe with a stick, maybe with guns and etc. So using various weapons, they may be harming others. And as a result of that, once they are passed away, they may be reborn in the hell. Or if they come back to the human realm, they get a lot of sicknesses. They become sickly. On the other hand, if one is not using on any of those weapons, one is careful about how one is maintaining relationship with others and maintaining some loving kindness and compassionate type of views. So if one maintain like that, conducts one's own life in this life like that, so after the passing away, he may be reborn in a, say, celestial realm, a better place. If they reborn in the human realm, so their lives would be really healthy. So the explanation, therefore, for the healthy life and the sickly life, again, Buddha connects with the past karma. Either one uses various weapons, various sticks, clods, etc., or they have not used them and they are quite compassionate and careful about others' lives, others' way of life. So that's the other explanation. And then Buddha mentioned there is one person who is getting angry very quickly and again criticize the others quite a lot, and he find fault with others and easily get offended, and easily become resentful, hostile. So if one continues a life like that, then after the death, he can, as a result of that karma, he can reborn in a hell realm, And if he reborn in a human realm, and Buddha mentioned, he become unattractive, ugly. On the other hand, if one is not getting angry, if one controls one's anger, if one is not using harsh words, and maintaining, even when someone is criticizing oneself, try to maintain a calm mind, not getting proactive, and not becoming angry, not getting hostile. And if one is able to maintain that type of a temperament, then Buddha mentioned, as a result of that, if he is, if after passing away, he may get a better position, a better destination, and in case he come to the human realm, then he is reborn as a beautiful person, a pretty person. So there explanation comes. So how people have become beautiful and how people have become unattractive, not beautiful, ugly. And then if one is envious, and if one resents and envious about someone else's say growth, their possessions, their veneration, their respect, and their wealth, etc. If one is envious on those things, and as a result of that, he might get reborn in a hell realm or a bad destination. And if he is reborn in the human realm, he becomes less influential. So that means alpeshakya. Alpeshakya means, so he is not that influential, no one is noticing him. So he simply lives a very, you know, unnoticed kind of a life. On the other hand, if one is not envious, and if he does not resent, and if one is respecting others, and if one is not envious about someone else's respect, and if someone else is respecting, saluting, and etc., he is not envious on that. So he is basically appreciating that and live accordance with that. So as a result of that, Buddha mentioned, he may get a better destination after the passing away. And again, if he is reborn in the human realm, he become influential, Maheshakya. He become an influential person. So others start to respect him. Others consider about his word. Others give due respect to him. He is venerated in this human realm. So he become influential person, Maheshakya. And then there is another person who actually like to give food and help others, and say whoever comes and asks some help, so he is ready to help the other person, he is generous, etc. So if as a result of that, so if he is reborn, he may be reborn in a better destination. If he come to the human realm, he become really rich. And on the other hand, if he is, if one is not doing like that, if he is really miserly and quite not sharing with others, and always try to sort of protect only one's own things, and not giving anything to the others. So likewise, if he is conducting a life like that, so as a result of that, he might get reborn in a hell realm, a bad destination. And if he comes back to the human realm, he become quite poor. So this is a kind of a explanation Buddha giving. And then, and again Buddha give a kind of an explanation on how one is reborn in a lower caste and a higher caste. So there Buddha mentioned, so if one is paying homage to a person who is worthy of homage, if one rises up from one's seat for a person who is approaching is a respectable person, if one offers a seat who is worthy of giving a seat, if one makes one's way, gives one's way for a person who is approaching is a worthy person, if one honors a worthy, respectful person, and if one respects to a worthy person, if one reveres a worthy person, if one venerates a worthy person. So likewise, there are sort of very, you know, humble and respectful character, demeanor is maintained, and as a result of that, so if he reborn again, he is getting a very higher destination. If he comes to the human realm, Buddha mentioned that he may be reborn in a higher caste. On the other hand, if one is not respecting like that, not venerating, not rising up from one's seat, not paying homage, and basically disrespecting, not basically ignoring the respectful people, say wise people, reverential people. So likewise, if one behaves like that, as a result of that, one may reborn in a hell realm or any bad destination. And if he comes to the human realm, Buddha mentioned he may be reborn in a lower caste. And on the other hand, now, so the explanation, now Buddha giving one by one. And for the explanation of being wise or stupid, so there Buddha mentioned in this life, one is keen on learning and sort of going to approach into various, say, knowledgeable people, and they are asking questions and asking what is good, what is wrong, what is bad, and what is the activities which are harmful, what are the activities which are beneficial, and what are the teachings and etc. So likewise, one always inquire and try to improve one's knowledge, one's understanding. So if one leads a life like that, so if he gets a future birth, then he may be reborn in a better position. And if he comes to the human realm, and he is become wise. On the other hand, if someone doesn't do like that, if one is not keen on acquiring knowledge or learning, etc., one is simply putting a lazy type of a life and not inquiring anything, so then he may be reborn in a bad destination, and if he comes to the human realm, he become fairly stupid. So this is the kind of explanation Buddha gives, and there are the key fact here is that the kammasaka satta, so the beings are the owners of their actions. So these are all various actions that we have discussed, and those actions have become their inheritance, and they are originate based on their actions, and again they are bound to their actions, and these correct actions or good actions become their refuge, and as a result of that, these actions Buddha mentioned distinguishes beings as inferior or superior. Now, basically here, simple argument is, or simple point here is, that the good actions gives good results and the bad actions gives bad results. So this is easy to understand, and this is a common understanding. But there are certain other situations that probably you might have noticed, that certain people conduct good acts and they get good results. Easy to understand. Some people do bad actions and they get bad results. That is also easy to understand. But on the other hand, there are certain situations, people continue to do bad actions, but they continue to get good results. And even if they sometimes do continuously bad actions, and even they get a better destination in the next life, maybe immediate next life, that certain people do wrong deeds, and sometimes they continue to bear good fruits, and even a future destination also, maybe the immediate destination also can be good. On the other hand, certain people continue to do good things, correct actions, but they are continuously getting some, say, going to suffer, and they get bad results. I mean, not from immediate these things. They continue to suffer and they become poor and etc. And even sometimes they get their bad destination. So there are certain discrepancies here. So therefore, Buddha mentioned that in the Mahakamma Vibhanga Sutta, that is available in the also in the Majjhima Nikaya. That is the next sutta after the Chulakamma Vibhanga Sutta. So there are, Buddha mentioned, there may be situations that even though you may be conducting today various good activities, there may be very influential past bad karma trying to get chance to bear fruits. So therefore, even though you did very good actions today, still those bad, influential, wrong karma which you have done already in the very past, various past lives, still bearing fruits. So you got to bear it, because there are such influential karma which is actually nullifying the present activities bearing fruits. They are continuously bearing fruits. Those are quite influential. On the other hand, assume that there are people conducting bad activities currently. But there may be very influential good actions they did in the past, and they are still bearing fruits at this life. As a result of that, they are enjoying this life. They get a lot of chances, lot of opportunities. They are fortunate because there are some unknown past activities which are not known to ourselves, and those are available and they are bearing fruits. So therefore Buddha mentioned, I mean, it is very difficult for one to understand simply by looking at the present experience, simply by looking at the present life, that how all these things are happening. So there are possibilities that even if one is at the moment doing a lot of good activities, still he may be going through a lot of unfortunate situations, because there are some influential bad karma that which they have done in the past. On the other hand, there are situations if the certain people are doing good things, still they get going through some suffering and kind of unfortunate situations, because there are past activities that which they did which are influential and giving fruits in this life. So likewise, there are certain discrepancies available. So therefore, it is not that we have to say that the good actions give bad results. Rather, good actions may definitely give good results, but we can't say they are immediately giving good results. So they are bearing fruits, could be influential from another karma which are quite influential. So that is another possibility. And there's another very interesting sutta available in the Anguttara Nikaya, and that is called Lona Pala Sutta, where Buddha talks about a very interesting simile. And giving very interesting opportunity for us to develop the path. There in one occasion Buddha tells that if one conducts an action, definitely to the same amount one may get result of that action. If one say like that, then Buddha says it is wrong, and it is not possible for a kind of spiritual life. There is no worthy of spending a spiritual life, because whatever the actions has given, what you do, same exact amount of result will be gained in the future. On the other hand, if one says, if one conduct an activity, there's a possibility that one may bear fruits, but there is an impossibility as well. And that statement is quite true. Therefore, one has the capacity to change one's karma. So this is an interesting phenomena Buddha mentioned in the Lona Pala Sutta. And there Buddha mentioned, suppose there is a person who has born poor and who is not rich, and maybe with some inferior situation, but continue to do some good actions. He continue to protect sila, he continue to learn dhamma, and he continue to help others as much as he can according to his capacity. So likewise, now he is growing his wholesome side. So at a given moment, it is possible that all the past, say, karma, being slowly become less and less, now this good karma become more and more powerful. So as a result, now he is sort of become more influential in the wholesome side, while less influential from the past karma. Because now he is blossoming. Now he is becoming more and more grown in the wholesome side. Assume as a result, so he can even have a possibility to even free from all the karma. Suppose he continue the practice and he is further developing his spiritual capacities, and as a result he is able to even nullify all the previous bad karma to fair extent, and he can even be free from samsara. So therefore Buddha mentioned that this spiritual life has very good potential. On the other hand, yes, there's another interesting phenomena explained here. So there are certain bad karma. If a particular person conduct, it can even give actions even in the hell realm, in the next destination. The same action to another person, if he conducts it, it may have give a little impact in this present life alone, that is ditta dhamma vedaniya kamma, and then it has no capacity to give any result in the future life at all. So what is the difference? So if I repeat the question, so there is a kamma, assume it's a bad karma, and if one person did it, that person may be reborn in a hell realm. The same karma, if another person did it, but it didn't give him a birth in the hell realm, instead it has given some result in this life itself, and then it cancels. So what's the difference? So there Buddha mentioned, assume there's a person who is fairly low in his wholesome capacity. So he has done a lot of bad activities, and there are enough influential, unwholesome karma now giving results, and he is going through some, say, unfortunate situations, and he is not drawn in the wholesome side. And if he conducts more and more wrong activities, assume this wrong activity is continued to reborn in a hell realm, because his wholesome capacity is very, very less. So if he conducts another wrong activity, so then it is possible for him to reborn in a hell realm. There's another person who is really continuing his life really moral, and he is conducting his life really well, and he's trying to fulfill a lot of good activities, and he is continuing to improve his wisdom, and he is trying to maintain mindfulness, he's trying to maintain, say, compassion, loving kindness as much as possible. He is fairly rich in the wholesome side. But assume that he also did a wrong activity. Assume that the same wrong activity that previous person has done, now this person also has done. Since the wholesome power is really influential for this person, so this unwholesome activity does not have the capacity to bear fruits in the next life. Instead, it may bear fruits within this life to some extent, and then it finishes off, and it cannot give fruits in the future life, because he has lot of wholesome power. So this wholesome power is quite capable of sort of subsiding that unwholesome activity's power consequences. So Buddha gave a very interesting simile here, that is the simile of the salt. So Buddha asks, if one takes a little amount of salt, and if he put it to a small a vessel of water. Then Buddha asks, will that water become salty? Then the monks answer, yes, water may become salty because it's a very less amount of water was available in that vessel, in a cup. And once you put a little amount of salt, then immediately the water becomes salty. Then Buddha asks, if the same amount of salt, if we are put into the river Ganges, will the water become salty? Then monks say, no, Pante, it won't become salty because the water there is immense. It's vast water, amount of water is there. So this little amount of salt is not influential at all. Similarly, Buddha mentioned, if one has a lot of wholesome power available, so if he conduct a wrong activity, so then it doesn't have enough capacity to give a bad destination or hell, future birth in hell realm, because he is fairly protected by the influential wholesome power. So therefore, Buddha mentioned there's a possibility that one builds up one's wholesome power. Assume that one didn't have enough wholesome power at the birth. But if one has taken the correct path, if one has understood the correct path, one has come to the correct path and try to further improve oneself, then slowly, slowly, one is growing in the correct path. One is growing in the wholesome power. As a result, one may have the capacity to even nullify those wrong actions bearing fruits in the future, and may they provide some consequences in this life. So likewise, actually, this discussion on the karma is very interesting and quite interesting to understand, and knowing some aspects of this karma is very essential. So if one has to continue the path, so therefore, first of all, Buddha mentioned that one has to have right view. And the first aspect of right view is the mundane kind of right view. And the mundane kind of right view actually has very strong understanding, or better understanding, about the karma. And that is what I try to explain today. And with that, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching. And now I open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, for any new participants today, you may ask a question by raising your hand, or you can also send them to me via the chat. We do not yet have any questions, Bhante.
Yeah, good, good. So, basically, all are with a good understanding of karma, so nothing to worry. How about you, Jennifer? So you also have no questions.
Well, I feel like the concept of karma is... I think we try to explain it in a very linear way when it's actually quite complex and there are a lot of various conditions that affect the karma. So while the stories, I think, are very helpful and interesting, but I think in reality it's much more complex too.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. So that's why, I mean, Buddha also mentioned that the subject of karma is beyond the capacity of the typical beings, and it's a subject of the Buddhas. So that's why he is trying to give a better explanation about the karma. So here, to some extent, we have to trust the Buddha, because we can't know immediately how our actions going to give results in the future life, because we are not yet in the future life. But here we have to trust the Buddha. Yeah.
So I'd like to invite Chita Dev to ask your question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yes, Bhante, I will agree with what Jennifer says. It's a very difficult and complex subject, and it's not as simple as do good and you will get good results. It's not as you explain yourself. Now, my question, Bhante, is that you spoke of three types of the karma which manifests in, you said in this life, in the next life, and then in some other life. Can you just tell that again, Bhante, if you don't mind? This life was Ditta Dhamma Vedani.
Yeah, Ditta, and the next life is called Upapajja Vedaniya. That is Upapajja Vedaniya. Yeah. So that is where the what you did today, so actions that you are doing this life may have the capacity to give, say, fruits in the next life, immediate next life. But there are other karma which give, which cannot, I mean, we didn't get a possibility or chance to bear fruits in this life, not in the next immediate life, but they have the capacity to bear fruits in any other future life, till you are in the samsara.
And what is that called, Bhante?
That is called Aparaparya Vedaniya. Aparaparya Vedaniya.
Aparaparya Vedaniya, right?
Yes, yes.
Now the other question is, I have heard, when I have gone for retreats and all that, Bhante, that the monk has, this particular monk said that, and you just sort of touched on it, that we don't have to accept our karma and that we can reject it. So that's what I thought, that sounded very interesting, and you kind of explained it in a minor way, but you can't reject it. Karma, it just comes on, whatever comes on you is difficult to reject, no, Bhante? Can you explain that to me anyway?
So instead of, rejecting, in the sense we don't, if the results are occurring, so it depends on how we may have a better chance or better choice. So that is something. Now say, for example, if one is now today bearing fruits of some past activity, so at that time one option is, one assume that you did something bad in the past life, and today assume that you blame someone in the past life, and today as a result of that, say another person is blaming you. Assume that this has happened because of the past karma. So at this time, one option is you simply accept it, because you feel that okay, this is something now I did in the past, that's why now I am bearing fruits. So you are trying to be patient with this. So in a way, we are giving an opportunity for that past karma to sort of cease. So it may still be paid off now, completely. So only another approach is, now say you are now start to react. Say the other person is blaming you, you are also still fighting and you are also blaming. Now what happened? You are accumulating karma. Instead of you allow that past karma to nullify and cease and fade away. Rather, you are using the opportunity to again aggravate the karma, again accumulate the karma. So in that way, we never find an end of karma. So this is another approach. In a way, we can say it's a wrong approach. And it doesn't mean that always we have the capacity, always karma have the capacity to bear fruits every time. So it's very much like, say, if you are putting a seed on a stone, it may cannot grow there because the necessary conditions are not available. Similarly, even though there are a lot of potential karma is available, if the necessary conditions are not available at a given moment, they don't have the capacity to bear fruits. So therefore, you can't say that every action is happening or every result is happening because of the karma. Rather, there are many other causes and conditions bearing fruits. It is, karma is only one aspect. So there are many kind of climatic conditions. There are, say there are certain food related activities. There are other influential people. And so likewise, there are many other causes available. Karma is one of them.
Yes, Bhante, that's the niyamas. No? They're called the niyamas, no, Bhante?
Yes, it's called karma niyama. And so karma niyama is, I think, 1/5 or 1/6 of many different other niyamas available.
Yeah, because also you bring with your genetic constitution of a bee, it's called Bijanyama, no, Bhante? It's called Bijanyama.
Yeah, that is that we can say as Bijanyama, yes. So typically yes. Bijanyama explains like into the, say, in the bio terms, say if you are putting a, say, mango seed, it may give mango tree. So if you put any other, say, grape seed, then it will bear the grapes. So likewise, the Bijanyama comes to the botanical terms, and the, say, climatic conditions are similarly. So those are, I mean, this is not only to, not only limited to the human sort of experience, but those niyamas are the sort of, we can say, the governing principles of the whole universe. So karma is one aspect only. So the problem here is we can't really distinguish or really recognize. So when we are going through any kind of a situation, whether it is due to karma or whether it is due to climatic conditions or whether it is due to say someone else's influence. So likewise, it's very difficult to distinguish for ourselves. But we can make some sort of a guess, some inferential knowledge we can use, but it doesn't say that it could be 100% correct. But only the Buddha can say, okay, this is happening due to this particular reason, this particular cause, and likewise he only can have the capacity to say like that.
But can we refuse to accept it, Bhante? Certain things, so supposing it's due to the karma, I mean, environmental things and all, maybe you can change sides slightly up to a point or influential, that kind of things. But can we refuse to accept the karma?
No,
will we be able to get rid of some of it if we behave in a way, a peaceful way to refuse the karma?
Yeah, refuse in the sense that is in a way accepting. So if we are in a peace, that's what I first mentioned, when a particular karma is bearing fruits, so rather than we aggravating the situation, rather than we are blindly reacting to it, if we are trying to be peaceful with it, without complicating the situation, so that is a way of properly handling it. And on the other hand, we can use our own common sense to minimize it. So it doesn't mean that we have to simply become a poor victim of it. So we can use all the possible measures to minimize the problem. Now, say for example, you are going through some bad situation. So there you can say become somewhat spiritual. You can get some help from the other people. You can ask some help. So likewise, there may be, I mean, lot of other ways and means to minimize it. So those definitely can be used.
Yes, Bhante. And the other question I was going to mention to you was that there is a trend in these people who don't behave well. I mean, like if you look at the whole world, now I'm talking of the whole world, and you see a lot of politically influential people, they behave really badly, and they have a very good life leading the high life. So it's very difficult to understand all those things, Bhante.
Yeah.
That is very complex.
Complex,
you know?
Exactly. So that's why, that is what mentioned in the second sutta, which I mentioned as the Mahakamma Vibhanga Sutta. So there Buddha mentioned, so sometimes it is, we can experience that certain people are continue to do bad actions, but still they are thriving, they are growing. So
this is universal, Bhante. The people who are politicians, that is a universal thing. That's the difficult part to understand.
Yeah, the thing is, so still they have done a lot of some good deeds in the past lives, and they are quite influential, and they are giving a lot of results. And by the way, so you can't say that continuously they get such kind of a situation. So there are possibilities in the, say, in a future life, or maybe within this life itself, maybe in, say, closer to the death or somewhat. So there are still the possibility that the whatever the bad actions they do may give bad results. So therefore, we can't completely say that it is unethical or not reasonable or something like that, because we can't see the big picture. The complete picture is not known to us.
Yes, Bhante, thank you. Yeah, that was just by just a thought, passing thought.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'd like to invite Mahisha to please ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, I actually want to share my current meditation experience and ask for any advice if you could give me to help to improve myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Past week, actually, I got a very good examination kind of a thing to, you know, test myself. It's like one of my vice principal in school, which I had my high school. She was kind of, I had a close kind of relationship with her after I left school. So I used to like visit her often whenever I go to Sri Lanka and things like that. And I didn't know that I was actually clinging on to her that much until she fell sick last week. And she's actually really bad these days in the hospital. So I used to, you know, talk to her on the phone, and now she actually can't talk as such. So I'm like looking at her through the, you know, FaceTime. And I realized that it's really, you know, when I'm meditating, the things comes to my mind, not the past, but, what she would have done better rather facing this situation, things like that. So I used to analyze, you know, things that we would have done to her. Things. I know it's not, we can't do much now. What had happened because of a reason and all those things I analyze. But when I sitting on meditation, the meditation works in the same pattern that I used to do it a few months back. So as soon as I sit, I get the sensations, and then I can keep on looking at the breath and all those things. So it's normally happening, the normal pattern. But after some time, you know, I feel the stages like I'm getting into samadhi, and then the time comes that the leaking of the thoughts. So the whole thoughts that are coming is those thoughts about my teacher and her sickness and all those things. Oh, her relatives would have done this, like this, or things that we would have done, right? Mm-hmm. And also things that we should do in the future, things like that. Also, the suggestions comes to my mind. I keep on watching, but it never ends. It keep coming and coming. And but you know, I give myself kind of a, you know, empathy, or kind of a feel like sorry about my mind getting all those thoughts, and it's go backward and forward to the thoughts, and then again to the my sensations and breath, and it's. It keeps on. Well, I mean, like, for a whole week now, I'm like that. I was thinking, oh God, this just keeps going. So I would like to ask, so nothing else comes to my mind now, only about the teacher and the sickness of her. Nothing else during the whole meditation, I'm thinking about her. And then afterwards, actually, I transfer merits, and I'm transferring merits for her to get well and this and that. But... just advice on this, Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah. So actually, these are Buddha mentioned as subtle vitakka, sukkuma vitakka. So there are, it is easy to understand when we are getting sensual thoughts, say sexual thoughts, kind of ill will, harmful thoughts. So we all can understand them, and we all can understand easily that they are not good for ourselves, not beneficial for ourselves, and harmful to others, harmful to us. So likewise, we easily can understand their harmful nature. So as a result, probably we can easily watch them without encouraging them, without get caught to them. And as a result, they become slowly fade away. So this is the first stage, and Buddha called them as Majjhima Majjhima kind of vitakka, that is the middle type of various thoughts, we can say. So this is actually easy to understand, and because we understand they are not beneficial to us and not beneficial to others, as a result we properly be mindful on them and they start to fade away. And after we are able to overcome them, now they come the subtle vitakka, subtle thoughts, and they are quite righteous. They appear like righteous. And there Buddha mentioned about the Janapada vitakka, that is where the thoughts about our village, our country, our nation, and say our college or whatever the dwelling related thoughts, those are appear quite correct. Now say for example, while you are meditating, assume that you are getting a thought about your country, what happened to Sri Lanka and how things are happening there, whether the corona is increasing, whether it is decreasing. So likewise, so you have some attachment to the country, attachment to your birthplace, attached to your village, attached to the city, whatever. So likewise, you have thoughts related to that, and they appear like quite correct. You feel that I am obliged to think like that, it is my duty to think like that. And on the other hand, there are certain vitakka called jnati vitakka. Those are related to the relations. So while you are meditating, you start to think about your mother, your father, your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife, your, say, whoever helped to you, your friends, your teachers. So those are the jnati. So those are the people that you feel like worthy of thinking. And you start to think about them. And you feel it is my duty to think, and it is my duty to think, and then get a better, say, decision and how to help them better. And likewise, you start to think. It has the righteous quality. And you can't say it is not correct to think like that. So therefore, it has a righteous quality. As a result, we continue to think. And there are other even subtle vitakka, Buddha mentioned as anavanyatti patsangyutta vitakka. That is where, say, you are thinking, so others, how others may think about me. So they should not have wrong understanding about me. They should have a better understanding or correct understanding about me. So likewise, you are thinking how others are sort of thinking about yourself. What is the perspective they have? What is the, say, perception they have about yourself? So those all appear like very correct. Now, the point here is, now once we are leading to think like this, once I continue to think like this, they have the potential to switch to the second category. Say for example, you start to think about the country. Assume that you are thinking now on Sri Lanka, and you are thinking about the country, and you are quite patriotic and etc. And you are thinking. And slowly there may be, immediately there's another thought coming and telling, okay, there's a threat from another country, okay, there's a threat from another nationality, another threat from, say, some other situation. And now you start to sort of angry about that other party. Now you are back in the second category. Now you have ill will. So similarly, now suppose you are thinking about a particular person, your child, your parent, and he or she or now going through some situation, and you are sort of started thinking that thinking about this particular person is something good and it is my duty. So you start to think. As a result, you are thinking, and in the meantime, there are some other conditions come and popping up. Okay, there is a possibility this person get harmed by someone else, or may get deluded by someone else, may be cheated by someone else. So now you are linking it to another person, and that person is sort of harmful. That person is someone I have to be careful. So now you are angry about that person. You are now generating some ill will towards that person. So likewise, even though these thoughts appear like correct and righteous, they have the capacity to link to the other bad and not beneficial type of thoughts. So there is one aspect. And on the other hand, so simply by thinking, you can't solve problems. Now, thinking can lead to more and more obsessive type of thinking, and ultimately you become driven by thinking. At the beginning, you have your somewhat control over thinking. It is you that start to think. Say you got a little image about your teacher, and now you put a name to that image as, oh, this is my teacher. And then you add another thought, oh, she has helped me a lot. And you put another thought, oh, now she is in a bad situation. You add another thought, okay, she is now in hospital. Now you keep on adding. And in many different ways you start to add. And ultimately it becomes an obsession. It becomes a proliferation. Now you can't stop. Because you have given enough fertilizer, enough raw material for the mind to grow and to catch its own momentum. Now you are sort of a victim of that proliferation. So this is very beautifully explained in the Madhupindika Sutta, how actually as a cause and effect relationship this thought happens, so the mental image happens. But later we volitionally put a little one or two thoughts to it. Still the thinking is under our control. But later the thinking machine starts and it has its own momentum. It has now gained its own momentum. Ultimately, we become a victim of that thinking machine. Now you can't stop it. So likewise, this proliferation is really harmful. And that is why we need to really carefully handle this thinking. Now, one solution I would like to say is that you have to deviate your attention to something else now. So rather than immediately try to stop it because it's difficult for you to now stop it, now you use a different approach. Assume that you are going for some other, if possible, you go to another distraction. Say you are talking with another friend, or you completely change your direction, like you are going to see a movie, or you going for sports, or going to see another relation, or going to see your friend, or talk with another friend who is not talking about this particular teacher, but entirely a different topic. I have to completely deviate from the this type of obsessive thinking. In order to do that, you have to take another type of an approach where you completely deviate from this subject and change the subject. So there the mind, say you got to take another interesting subject, not a sort of a diluted kind of a subject, but something interesting. And so it slowly, as it is gaining capacity, so you may give less chances for the previous obsession to carry on, and as a result it may become fade away, and this new topic may somewhat now start to grow in the mind. Now at that time you drop it, because now you are mindful and don't allow that to also to grow too much. Rather, at one time you recognize, okay, the previous thinking has now gone, and now I am in a better position to calm down. Now you drop what you have taken, and now you can recover. So likewise, many strategies can be used. And another option is to continue in the, say, walking meditation, because walking meditation is quite helpful, but anyway, it will take time, because you got to have a lot of time for the thoughts to allow to come, and then see them, and not fertilizing them, not promoting them, then allowing them to pass away. Again coming, again not promoting, but allowing them to naturally cease. So likewise, you got to allow them to come and allow them to cease. So anyway, this takes time, but this is also another approach. So likewise, we have to strategically say, act on this.
Great explanation, actually. I got some ideas that how I could do it. And practically, it's really good advice. Thank you so much, Bhante. Teruvan Saranai.
Yeah, Teruvan Saranai.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Shalika to please ask the next question.
Bhante, Tervan Sarnai.
Tervan Sarnai.
I just want to ask you about like this Ahosi Karma. You know, what I understood was like, and from that, but I thought, you know, when someone become arahat, definitely all the karmas will be like diminished, you know, will be, you know, stopped since there is no rebirth. But what are the other situations that, you know, ahosi karmas can, you know, take place?
Yeah. So actually, if we are to say all the karma that arahant have done completely stopped, we can say to some extent, say the majority has stopped. Now say for example, if one become an arahant, so all the past karma which had the capacity to give fruits in a future life, so that is completely become nullified. Ahosi.
Yeah.
And but there may be still situations that he may bear fruits in this life.
Yeah.
So that means that still there he is vulnerable to the past actions that he did, and those may have still some capacity to bear fruits. And as you said, now karma also bear fruits only when the other necessary conducive environment is available. Like I mentioned, if you are putting a seed you can't plant a seed on a very sort of unfertile kind of a ground. So you got to have a fertile ground for it to plant. So similarly, so the karma also cannot bear fruits if the conducive environment is not met. Now assume that some kind of a karma is there for you to bear fruit just to give an example, say there's a kind of a karma that is going to give you fruits in a hell realm. See, you are not taking that chance, but rather you continue to do wholesome activities, and therefore you never become an animal, never become a hell being. So then, so that particular karma, which actually has a prerequisite to bear fruit only in the hell realm or in the animal realm, then it may become completely disqualified because you didn't prepare that opportunity. So because you continue to be in the, say, I'm just giving a hypothetical example, say, so you continue to be in the human realm, so therefore the karma which had to bear fruits in the animal realm didn't get a chance. Say another example, if we consider, say, there are some examples actually in the commentary, I feel, I can't exactly remember. Say, if while in a feminine, if you know, scarcity of food, if some come to be bear fruit, so it may bear fruit in a different way. Say, for example, there are situations like when the Sri Lanka was going through certain feminine. Am I correctly pronounce it? Feminine, right? This scarcity of food. Famine, I think. Sorry?
Famine,
yeah. So at that time, I heard that there were a lot of opportunity for a certain karma to bear fruit. And as a result, even in the famine situation, certain monks got, say, food because they had a lot of past karma. If there is no famine, then they are already in a, say, very good condition. And then those kind of actions didn't get a chance because they already have the enough food and he is maintaining some moderate food. Say for example, so there is an opportunity for you to get a king, but you don't like to become a king, and there are situations that you are simply rejecting being a king. So the actions which have to give fruits, you being a king, then may not get fruitful. So likewise, the necessary conditions should be available for certain karma to bear fruits. If not, they become cancelled.
Okay, Bhante, yeah, I understood, you know, because anyway it's a very complex area, and whatever we do, we don't know what the results it will bring.
Yeah,
you know, since we see like a lot of good people, like, you know, they face it very difficult situations in their lives, then sometimes we think, you know, why it's, you know, because we see them as really good people, but, you know, they are going through a very tough time. So at the same time, the other way, so it's karma is kind of a, you know, really complex subject. And
yes.
We don't know what exactly the results will bring, but as long as we do the good things, so definitely we know it will bring something good.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Now, so it is heard that even the Buddha went through certain results of the bad karma, so that is another subject. Like, for example, he had back pain, and he sometimes got a headache, and Devadatta actually put a rock onto him. As a result, his leg was injured. And likewise, there are certain situations, I think about 12 incidents Buddha went through, and their explanations are given connecting to certain past activities. And you can understand, I mean, then one can question, even he's the Buddha, and that is the maximum that one can go. How even Buddha went through such a situation, then one can question. So that is why, I mean, we can't actually understand or comprehend the complete picture unless Buddha sort of reveals, okay, this is because of this it has happened. So likewise, it is the subject of the Buddha, not even capable, even the, say, Venerable Maha Moggallana, Venerable Maha Kassapo, Sariputta. Even they are not, capable of understanding to the full extent of the subject of the karma. And there are another interesting situation. Say, for example, there are situations like Buddha went through certain illnesses. And Venerable Maha Moggallana went through certain illnesses. Venerable Maha Kassapa went through illnesses. And you can remember that while we were discussing Bodhjanga, that we discussed that when Buddha approached and preached Bodhjanga, and then they recovered. So likewise, they also went through in their life some illnesses. So likewise, we can't say whether Venerable Maha Moggallana or Venerable Maha Kassapa Buddha really went through this illness because of a particular karma. It could be due to food, it could be due to climate. So likewise, there are many conditions, and karma is one condition.
As an example, this is COVID, right? How can the whole world has that same karma, you know?
Yeah.
So basically, it's because of the, you know, some sort of like a situation, like some...
You can say it's a climatic condition. Could be... it could be a kind of climatic condition, it could be, certain causes given in certain other suttas, like because of someone else's upakkama, someone else's influence, and it may be because of food poisoning, it may be because of climate, and when we are getting certain illnesses, there are certain causes mentioned, especially in the Girimananda Sutta. So, and again, there are the karma.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Bhante, thank you so much.
Thiruvan
Sannai.
Thiruvan Sannai.
I believe that's all the questions that we have for today, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for your participation. Actually, today... mostly it's some sort of building up some understanding about Buddha's teaching on the karma. And this actually helps us to have sort of responsible life, because we got to be a little careful about what we do, using our body, using our speech, and using our mind. And because they have the potential to bear fruits. And if we are to practice... in order to be free from the samsara, then we should not prepare, say, wrong conditions or bad conditions. Instead, we should develop the positive conditions so that we will lead a comfortable life, we will lead say, more favorable life, so we get better opportunities to lead the spiritual life. So in that context, so the right understanding or right view about the karma is quite essential. So therefore, in the right view, Buddha talks about the mundane right view and the supramundane right view. And let's discuss some further aspects of the right view on next week. So with that, we'll conclude today's Dhamma discussion, and thank you very much for participation. And we'll share the merits. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chiram rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chiram rakkantu mamparam. Idang vo nyati nang ho tu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang ho tu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang ho tu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo ho tu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.